Episode 275 of Way of the Warrior. This week, we'll talk a little bit about Ronda Rousey, who's going to jump into the UFC Hall of Fame, who gets an immediate title shot upon the return, and is Chael Sonnen coming back? All of that is next on Way of the Warrior, brought to you by Celebration Cinema, who's showing UFC 187 on the big screen this weekend. Get all the locations and tickets at CelebrationCinema.com. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior, it is Eric Hallgren along with Ken Evans covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Memorial Day weekend, we get UFC 187. This year you will not get that giant 4th of July card. That will not be a thing. That's pushed back a week for Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo.
That's still pretty big.
It's huge, but it's not the holiday weekend that they normally kind of center it around. This weekend, though, if you've not paid attention to everything else going on the card, it's a stacked huge card. UFC 187. Anthony Rumble Johnson, Daniel Cormier, number one and number three at light heavyweight, will attempt to fill the void left by John Jones, who has been suspended indefinitely and stripped of said title. They will have a new title holder for the first time.
Oh, I wish they did a new belt. I thought that's what you were about to tell me.
That would be awesome. But I have to give them credit. You know, you and I have long talked. I don't know that we've talked on the show, but we've talked off the show about our ongoing debate as to whether or not it's the UFC or WWE that does the better video promos, you know, when they make you want to buy the things that they put out there. This one I thought was pretty genius to kind of build the whole promo around the first time in 4 years you will get a new light heavyweight champion. I think that gets people excited about what's happening between these two guys and sort of nods to the fact that there is a guy who is no longer there and that they didn't beat to get the title without kind of saying that.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, and obviously we'll kind of take this as it goes here. I still don't know why this is at the top, quote-unquote, of the card, but go download last week. We talked about that enough.
Right.
I think it's interesting here to look at this situation, the winking and the nodding in the promos, and I mean, not winking and nodding, blatantly saying it, essentially, and the fact that we're hearing now John Jones, if he comes back, if he gets through all of his stuff, and again, he might not, according to his managers, because he's got a lot of other options. So he might not come back. If he does, though, there's word he gets an immediate title shot. And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with the fact that he's probably the best fighter in the world, but why the hell suspend him then? Why even bother with it? Just strip him of the title and give somebody else an interim title. There's no teeth to the suspension. And I know Chael Sonnen's been on record talking about this recently, too. I think it's very interesting to look at these two guys, promote them as the main fight on your card, and then kind of wink and nod. Well, they haven't really beat the guy, but they'll have to right when he comes back. What is the suspension then? It's total see-through PR BS if there's no real punishment there. And there's no real punishment. When he can fight again, he'll be able to fight for the title, which is exactly what would happen if they had done nothing.
Well, but that's exactly what we said was going to happen. We told you that they were going to do nothing, right? And you said, I think it was last week or the week prior, that, like, you know, he's got to get through all of this stuff, but if Dana White and these guys are already making concessions to make it as easy as possible to come back, my guess is your Nostradamus-esque vision into what celebrity kiss he's going to get, it's going to be pretty good kiss. Like, it's going to be probation for 58 days, and you have to...
I still don't know if he's going to get one with this. And again, we'll have to see a lot play out. I just think it's very interesting. And again, we're talking about this fight with Johnson and Cormier, the winking and the nodding, when we don't know what the NAC is going to do. We don't know what the legal system is going to do. We don't know what's going to happen here. So the fact that you put that out there, that these guys haven't actually beat the guy who had the belt, it's going to hang over them unless they can go fight him at some point. And what if they can't? So I find it all very interesting to kind of look at the dynamics like that, especially when you're promoting this and you're promoting it at the top of your card, when you've got the dude that beat Anderson Silva that basically said this week he's not interested in any more fights. He's like, he can't beat me, guys. I'm not interested in fighting him. Who would have thought a year and a half ago? anybody would have been saying that, yeah, Anderson Silva's not really worth me. It's not worth my time to fight him. And that's where we are with Chris Weidman, and probably one of the dudes who's lasted through all of the, you know, the golden age, the era in the mid-2000s and into today, Vitor Belfort. That's a dude that's always been box office money, and he's definitely going to be here. I'm sorry. I'm stuck. I'm looking at this card and I'm seeing how it's lined up. I'm looking on the UFC site. I'm looking everywhere where it's, and I can't understand how this is still not just being promoted as the headline fight.
So I know we talked about this last week, and I had a whole week to kind of digest the conversation in another manner. And I remember we had a conversation the second time he beat Anderson Silva, that you and I said on record that we didn't think that the fan base was still going to buy that he was a legit champion. And here we are, 2 years later, right? And he's second tier on the card.
Fighting, with the belt. The only champion on the card right now.
With the belt.
He's the only champion on the card.
Fighting Vitor Belfort, finally, which I know we're super excited to see that part of the fight. But it's interesting. This is a guy that, to me, seems like box office gold.
He should be.
Right? Total box office gold. And, you know, he's second on the card. He's not really getting the shine. I mean, like, the embedded episode that went up 2 days ago started with 4 minutes of Donald Cerrone fishing.
Well, you know, the cowboy, he knows how to work them lures.
You know, and then another minute of Donald Cerrone explaining his fishing expedition to fans in a hotel lobby. Like, I don't understand what this, and I'm sure exactly what I said 2 years ago. I don't know what he has to do to explain to you how damn good he really is.
Well, and obviously, you know, even since then, he beat Lyoto Machida.
No, I know.
A guy who used
doesn't
to hold
count.
The belt.
It doesn't count.
You know, he, and again, I'm not usually the biggest fan of decisions, but I mean, he went in there and got a decision, which was something I think almost he needed at that point, because people have been writing off these Silva fights as two flukes. Mm-hmm. They're not flukes, folks.
No.
He went in there with a dude that was one of the best in the world, Lyoto Machida, and lasted 25 minutes. Didn't last. I'm sorry. He beat him for 25 minutes. So this is a guy I would have understood if John Jones is at the top of this card and why he's there. But he's not anymore. I don't understand why Anthony Johnson, a contender, and Daniel Cormier, the guy who lost to the guy who they're taking his belt away from.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why they're at the top of the card. It's a super interesting fight to me. I want to see who the next light heavyweight champion is. But don't you want to see that Weidman Belfort? I'm not trying to jinx it. And at the time of taping, nothing has happened. We're very close to the fighter. I wouldn't say this. But I'm still buying this card, even if Johnson Cormier fell off of it. I mean, I'm buying a Weidman card now.
1,000%.
Especially against Belfort.
1,000%. Yeah. Well, but it's interesting having a week to kind of sit on what we were talking about last week. I really feel that we've got a guy who's 12-0, and for whatever reason, it's not even – and this is not a fair comparison, but if you're going to send me tweets or Facebook messages or emails about this, I'm not comparing him to the same issues that Demetrius Johnson has, because Chris Weidman can sell a pay-per-view.
Yes.
But there is clearly something that we're not we as a fan base are not really jumping behind when, like you said – he's still second on the card. This would be, like you said, if John Jones is at the top, logical conclusion. This is a huge, would have been a huge fight. Rumble Johnson, who people think is like this year's Gustafson, right? Mm-hmm. Is he the guy that could beat John Jones? Totally get why that's number one. Number two, Chris Weidman, because you do it by weight, right? Weight and John Jones.
I don't know if you do it by weight, but John Jones.
But there is no John Jones. And now, like you said, you have two contenders filling in for a belt. And this week, Dana White, who I know he's been asked the question 1,000 times, so he had to answer it. But it sucks that it came out this week. You know, all week long, asked. And this week, of course, says, oh, he gets an immediate title shot. So you've got two contenders with a cloud over their head as your main fight. And your co-main is a guy who's been destroying every legend in the sport since he came into 185.
Well, he destroyed the legend in the sport.
And then kept
the
going.
The legend.
Right, yeah.
Did it twice, destroyed another former title holder, and he's fighting a guy that's a legend in the sport, Vitor Belfort. If you want to take things away from him, remember, Vitor was the guy that almost beat John.
Sure.
Vitor was the guy that, you know, he didn't almost beat Anderson, but he's fighting the guy that beat Anderson handily. So it's very interesting to look at this situation. I am going to be very interested just to see Saturday night, early Sunday morning, where they actually land on the card. Because we're seeing the promotionally, the poster is Cormier Johnson. Promotionally, on the lineups, everything is Cormier Johnson. It'll be interesting to see if that's the actual case when we get down to the fights.
You think they're going to flop them?
I don't know, man. I'd have to be... I'd be very surprised, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe they want to give both those dudes time to shine and have them be the quote unquote main event. And maybe that's another option here that we're looking, that we're missing in this room, is that's a main event showcase for somebody who's going to have to carry pay-per-views, because they're going to have to sell Anthony Johnson or Daniel Cormier as the champion to sell pay-per-views.
But
that's not somebody you can necessarily team up with your middleweight champion anymore.
But I mean, I would say you were spot on last week that the only person in that equation that could carry a pay-per-view at this point, given the past, mm-hmm. is Rumble, right? Because if Cormier wins, you've got a giant cloud.
Yeah. Yeah, because at least with Anthony Johnson,
you don't know.
Oh, he might have beat him. Daniel Cormier, he said he'd never been in there with a guy that was stronger, right. Didn't expect to be manhandled.
Right.
Not only did the guy beat him, but after, you know, and again, Daniel Cormier, a very good sport. And he conceded his weaknesses to John Jones.
Sure.
In doing all that, though, you basically said, I'm not as good as that dude that doesn't have the belt anymore. And that's an interesting dynamic when you kind of move forward with him as your champion if he beats Anthony Rumble Johnson coming up on Saturday. So I guess we get to, does he beat him?
I mean, if you're asking me right now and making me log into DraftKings.com to win $30,000, I say no.
Are they a sponsor?
They are not.
Why are they not a sponsor?
Totally,
you have been pimping them like crazy.
Because, I mean, if you want to bet and you're not in Vegas, it's the most fun thing that you can do. And
what do you have, copy over there? What am I missing over here?
I'm just working on that sponsorship.
See, I think Cormier wins this one.
Really?
I think Johnson's a guy who could have caused trouble for John Jones. I think the dynamic of the matchup changes. I think Cormier's got the experience. I think Cormier's a different type of fighter. And I think he can grind out against Anthony Johnson in a way he couldn't against John Jones. Like, MMA math doesn't work here, because I think I may pick Johnson over John Jones. May have. I'm not going to say I would have 100%. But once the dynamics and the matchups change, and, you know, the height, I think, is something that Anthony Johnson could have dealt with better than, I think, the low center of gravity that we're going to talk about with Daniel Cormier.
Sure, yeah.
And the wrestling prowess that he has, and the way he uses his wrestling as a low center of weight and just to keep guys grinding and off balance and get them on the mat. I think it's going to be very interesting. You know, Cormier's been a guy that's been in there with guys like John Jones and been in there with some other top fighters at heavyweight. So I think this is going to be a tough, tough matchup for Anthony Johnson.
I'm not taking that part away, but the thing about Cormier is I just think Rumble presents all of the problems that John Jones presented with him.
Without the length, though. I think that was the biggest issue that Cormier had in that fight, the length and the fact that John was so explosive. Now, Anthony Johnson's very explosive, but John was explosive and able to do it from about 5 to 6 inches farther away than Daniel Cormier ever expected.
Sure.
And that led Daniel trying to get inside and work him, realizing how strong John was. If Anthony Johnson does the same thing and gets Daniel Cormier inside, it's a much tougher fight for Anthony Johnson than it was for John Jones in that situation.
I'm going to pick Rumble. I'm going to pick Rumble in the second round.
Wow.
I think it's a finish. I think it's an explosive finish. And I think this is a thing where Daniel has been very good in certain positions, as you've indicated. But he got in close where he should have been better against John Jones, and he wasn't. And I just don't think that where he's good, he's going to be stronger than Anthony Johnson. And I think Anthony Johnson is going to be able to create the distance by outworking him close and then finishing it on the feet.
So you're saying John Jones couldn't finish Daniel Cormier, but Anthony Johnson will?
Because I think Anthony Johnson has something to prove. John Jones wanted to make sure he kept his belt.
Hmm. You don't think he was upset after the whole saying, I want to kill you and eat you, or whatever happened there on ESPN? I mean, I see he seemed pretty motivated. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he did. But, I mean, much like we talk about with Demetrius Johnson, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Daniel Cormier. I just think that Anthony Rumble Johnson has had 24 months that rival Robbie Lawler's 24 months, and that hunger and that drive is a different animal mm-hmm. than somebody who's been at the upper echelon essentially the entire time. You know, Daniel Cormier has fought a lot of guys, but it's never been, all right, Dan, you've got to go all the way back down to the bottom of 205 and work your way back up.
And I think I would agree, too, in motivation and looking at these two dudes. I'm not saying Daniel Cormier is not a guy who's not motivated. He's obviously
totally,
you know, an Olympic caliber kind of guy, and he's one of those dudes that just knows how to work and knows how to grind. But he may be walking into this fight a bit with, okay, finally I can win the title.
Well,
now I don't have to fight John Jones for it. So I'm not going to say taking it for granted. That's the wrong terminology. But I could certainly see him looking at this fight as a situation where, okay, now I can win. Now I can beat this guy. I don't have to deal with John Jones, which I think would be the wrong way to look at Anthony Johnson. There might be some of that in there. Motivation-wise, though, you're going to have a dude like Rumble Johnson that is, like you said, he's been on fire.
He's been on fire, and I still think the X factor in all of this is Cain being back in fighting shape, what Daniel Cormier comes into this, you know, because they go to war, right?
And we talked about that a little last week. Is that the best thing?
I don't know that that's the best thing, but can that translate into, if you can beat Cain Velasquez in a ring in New Mexico, can you beat Anthony Rumble Johnson in Las Vegas?
I don't know.
And I don't know the answer to that. But my leanings say that I think Anthony Johnson takes this. In the co-main event, for me, as much as you want to say this is going to be a competitive fight, I see really Weidman having zero problems.
Oh, I didn't say it was going to be competitive. I thought it was very interesting. And Vitor Belfort's that dude that's never really lost his shine.
But
so we should all want to see this fight.
You absolutely should want to see this fight. If for no other reason to see if Chris Weidman can finally get his just desserts for beating every legend at that weight class. But I think he has zero problem beating Vitor Belfort.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chris Weidman there as well. I mean, this too, Belfort. He doesn't have TRT. He still has Jesus, so that's good. But it's the first time he's going to be fighting clean, what, in like 7 years?
Yes.
And by clean, I mean he's had exemptions before.
Yeah, no, right. But like without the supplement, you know,
right.
And what, how he, I will say he looks great. You know,
yeah.
He doesn't look like, well, I mean,
doesn't look like he used to, though.
But not in the same disparity as like Alistair Overeem, who comes in looking like a completely different human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then had to change camps to get somebody to train him effectively to fight with his new frame, as opposed to going to Hulk smash mode after you ate all that quote unquote horse meat and were destroying people in Pride.
It was a horse. You don't have to quote unquote it. He's admitted it. That wasn't a euphemism. He ate a horse.
Also,
I mean, he didn't go like kill it and eat it on the farm, but the horse was eaten.
Also on the card, Donald Cerrone, who was supposed to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. Nurmagomedov had a knee injury in the other knee. The replacement is John McDessie, unrated, taking on number 3 at 155. Cerrone says he promises if he wins this one, he'll ask for a title shot. McDessie says if he wins this one, he should get a title shot. I don't know that John is...
Wait, McDessie says...
Unrated, beats Cerrone, he gets a title shot.
That's what I was asking. I thought McDessie meant if he beats me, he should get a title shot. McDessie is saying he should get the title shot if he beats Cerrone.
If he beats Cerrone. And I don't know that I agree with that at all.
I'm glad I actually asked for clarification.
Yeah.
At first,
so,
I wasn't going
well,
to.
Well, Cerrone said that, like, because
I was wrong.
Everyone asked Cerrone, you know, you've been on this tear, and after each win, you're like, I just want to drink beer and go fishing, and we want you to ask for a title shot. And so he said he will promise if he wins, he'll ask for a title shot. McDessie thinks that he deserves one if he beats Cerrone on short notice. I think that's a great win for him. I think he's one or two fights away from being a title contender.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, because where's Nurmagomedov in his recovery at this point? What is he looking at? 6 months?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, because I mean,
assuming he doesn't break the other knee again in the process of fixing this knee.
I mean, that's one of those dudes that we want to see right now.
Totally.
In the cage. So, I mean, McDessie, Nurmagomedov? I wouldn't hate that. I don't know.
If he beats Cerrone, yeah, I wouldn't hate that.
I mean, I don't know if that's fair, unfair, so to speak, but... It can be what it is if he's got to come back from a surgery and he could beat a guy. He's not beating Donald Cerrone. Let's just stop talking about it anyways.
Also on the card, we go to the heavyweight division as Hapa, Travis Brown, will be taking on Andre Arlovsky, number 3 versus number 8. Andre has been saying all week that he's back to win a title. I just don't know that I've seen anything out of Andre Arlovsky that indicates to me two things. One, he'll get past Travis Brown, and two, that he could do anything against Verdum or Cain.
Hmm. I like the fight, though.
I know you're a fan.
Like the fight, though.
You love Andre.
I love that this fight's on the card, and I love that It's another old school UFC type of thing, and
sure.
Travis Brown is in there. I think it's perfect where it is on the card, fighting for a title. I don't know, but if you beat Travis Brown, you're not in a bad spot in the heavyweight division.
No, you're not in a bad spot. I don't know that he could do that. And yes, if he beats Travis Brown, I think you totally have that conversation that he's one of those guys.
I gotta give Travis Brown a lot of credit too, because I mean he's that guy. We talked about this last week when I was telling you about Junior and Kane are going to fight five times. Travis Brown is that dude that kind of has the fights in between because he's top three or four right now, I believe. So, I mean, I give him a lot of credit for taking this fight against Arlovsky because there's not a lot of win here for Travis Brown. You're going against the former UFC champion, and if he beats you, you fall a lot of spots.
Yeah, you're going to fall three or four
spots.
If
you beat him, you're not jumping ahead of Junior Dos Santos or Fabricio Werdum.
No, but so if we could jump ahead for a second, right? If we talk about last weekend and Frankie Edgar, it's a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie Edgar wants a title shot and probably deserves a title shot after that win over Uriah Faber. However, if Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor, if Jose wins in decisive fashion in round one, do you want to see Edgar again? If Jose loses to Conor in any sort of controversial fashion, they're going to have a rematch. And then what does Frankie do, right? So to fast forward back to what I'm talking about, Travis Brown has to stay busy. The interim title doesn't get filled until July. It doesn't come together till the end of July. And then after that, if those two guys go to war, they're both on the shelf and you're stuck. So you've got, I mean, if you want to eat, you know, in the Reebok deal, you get paid by the amount of times you fight, not about how awesome you are. So, you know, if you want to eat, you got to keep fighting.
Oh, I get that. I'm glad he's staying active. It's just, it's a very interesting dynamic to look at this fight and see, and there's not a lot to gain. And those are always some of the most dangerous fights, especially heavyweights, you know, as much as you can criticize once you fall out of that top five, these guys, when they land. And obviously Travis Brown, I think, is going to knock out Andrei Arlovsky in this fight. That's my pick. But if Andrei Arlovsky lands, he can knock you out, too. He's a heavyweight,
totally.
Too. Yep. He's been in there with some big boys as well. So always dangerous, even more so sometimes when you're a heavyweight.
UFC 187 this weekend. You can catch it on the big screen, Celebration Cinema. You can get tickets right now if you are in Michigan at CelebrationCinema.com. Also on the card, interestingly enough, you have four flyweights. You have the number two, the number one, number nine, and number five all fighting this weekend. Joseph Benavidez.
I didn't realize that.
Joseph Benavidez and John Moraga, number two, number five. That's going to be the first fight on the main card. And John Dodson, number one in the flyweight division, hopes to end Zach Mikowski's wanting to get to the title contention universe. That'll be a really, really exciting fight. If you've been listening to the show, you know that that's my favorite spot on the card because they usually put a really explosive, exciting card to get you into buying the main event.
And that's the main event on the undercard, which is usually on FX, Fox Sports 1, or whatever.
Fox Sports 1 this weekend. So it's Dodson and Mikowski, and that's going to be a great, great fight. And then Benavidez and Moraga will be a fun fight. I think Benavidez is in a similar position as Junior Dos Santos, in a similar position as, you know, if Anderson Silva were to come back, as a guy who just can't seem to get past the champ. So Benavidez went to a decision, lost a decision to Demetrius Johnson, their first fight, got knocked out brutally in the second fight, is pining for that third fight, but it's a difficult decision, or a difficult, I guess, case to make, because you really have no leg to stand on other than you've been going through you've been buzzsawing everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But does beating Moraga get you there? I'm not real sure.
No, but I mean, that division's always wide open. Because you need dudes to fight.
You do need dudes to fight.
So, I mean, if you get any notoriety and they put you on Fox Sports 1 or you're in that first spot in the pay-per-view, which right now, would it be out of line to say this is maybe the biggest pay-per-view of the year so far?
Hands down.
I mean, if Ronda Weidman would have held up, obviously that would have been huge. But
yes.
Weidman had to pull out of that card. So I think we've got the biggest pay-per-view card of the year so far on paper right here.
For sure. And I think the Fox Sports 1 card leading into it's going to be really, really exciting to do that. All right. When we come back, there's a bunch of other news to talk about. We will do that next. It is Way of the Warrior, brought to you by Celebration Cinema. It's your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren along with Ken Evans covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, brought to you by Celebration Cinema. They are hosting UFC 187 on the big screen. You can get tickets at CelebrationCinema.com. A couple other announcements this week. The UFC Hall of Fame for 2015. You will get Jeff Blatnick. He was a commentator from UFC 4 to UFC 32. He died in 2012. He will get into the UFC Hall of Fame, as will Matt Hughes and Frank Trigg for Matt Hughes, Frank Trigg, number 2.
So that's the fighting part of the UFC Hall of Fame, that new setup?
That is that new
setup.
Like
where they're inducting fights.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily Matt Hughes and
correct.
That is Frank Trigg going into the Hall of Fame. Matt Hughes is already a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that fight is going into the Hall of Fame is Hughes.
Now, that's the one Trigg won handily, right? Oh, wait, no.
No.
He lost that one.
Yeah, that's the one he did not win.
He had it won handily.
Yes.
And then he got thrown across the cage.
Then he got carried across the cage and dropped out of his head.
That's like a Hall of Fame move. That's what that becomes. How do you feel if you're Frank Trigg and that happens? But seriously, like you get to take your kids later and show them you're in the UFC Hall of Fame when they finally build it in Vegas, which is part of their goal as they rebuild their entire headquarters.
The only person that would feel worse is if it was the Matt Hughes-Carlos Newton fight where Carlos Newton is essentially winning the fight, but he's unconscious, so Matt Hughes gets the belt. That would be the only worst fight.
So Carlos Newton and Frank Trigg shouldn't take their kids to the UFC Hall of Fame, is what you're saying.
Well, that fight didn't make it in yet. So if it does, I would not take my kids to the UFC Hall of Fame.
One day.
One can only dream. All right. Want to talk about last weekend a little bit because I think there was some excitement coming out of the Philippines in that and Ken and I talked late Saturday night about this. When you see a fight between Frankie Edgar and Uriah Faber on paper, you think it's going to be super exciting. And then you get this fight where Frankie Edgar just gets off for 25 minutes and Uriah Faber has zero answers. And you got to ask yourself, like, what is next for a guy like Uriah Faber? There's been
I don't know. It's still Frankie Edgar. He only seems to lose to champions and former champions. So, I mean, this is an A-level dude.
Uriah Faber falls into the former champion level.
Right.
But, you know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you get handled like that, it didn't even look like it was a close contest.
No, but, I mean, this is what we talked about this last week. If you had to pick the fight, you pick Uriah Faber. But, man, it's hard to pick against Frankie Edgar. And Frankie Edgar went out there and went, damn right it's hard to pick against me. Look what I did.
Better not be not in your DraftKings pick.
Yeah, so he went out there. And it's interesting, too, because I think the underdog, quote unquote, as far as what we would have picked on the show, didn't win, but nobody was surprised. We're not surprised when we see it.
No, I was just surprised.
That's how good Frankie Edgar is, he goes out there and he beats a former world champion, a guy that's been A-level for a long time. And not only A-level, but I think he's kind of had a resurgence here in the past couple of fights. Not only does he beat him, he beats him handily for 25 minutes.
And I think that, to me, that was the surprising part because we talked last week that we thought the first round or two were going to be Uriah's game. And then if it went any longer, it was clearly going to be Frankie
would grind.
And that's exactly what happened. But the first two rounds, I didn't think were Uriah's game either. It just seemed like Uriah didn't have any answers for Frankie. No pun intended, I promise. But, you know, it was a very fun fight. Edgar likely to get that title shot as long as there's no shenanigans on July 11th. Faber, I mean, he talked in the press conference that he's looking for more super fights. I really think the internet talking about that super fight between Dominic Cruz and himself, I think that's really exciting if that ends up being a thing. But outside of that, I don't know. Some people have talked about a Sun Tzu. That might be an interesting fight. But
No, I think the Cruz – I think Uriah knows exactly what he wants to do, and that Faber Cruz fight is probably what's going to happen next. He's a smart dude. Yeah, he picks fights that are going to make money.
But you got to get Cruz back first. You know, that's the problem with that scenario.
Well, that's
right?
Why Faber wants the fight. He'd love to be his fight back.
Right, yes.
He'd love to be his fight back.
For sure. Also on the card, Gegard Mousasi, he beats Costa Philippou. It was a really unexciting affair. And, you know, we joked last week that Gegard always seems like he doesn't quite know that he's fighting.
He certainly didn't look like he whooped him.
Yeah, he whooped him, and it wasn't really that exciting. Mark Munoz couldn't have ended on a better note. It was a very fun fight. That first round, he was destroying Luke Barnett and ends up winning the decision and gives a great concession speech, you know, a retirement speech, lays his gloves down in the middle of the octagon as is customary. And what I liked about the retirement speech is it reminded me of why I love this sport, and it's guys like Mark Munoz. You know, of all of the stuff that we talk about on this show, John Jones and his shenanigans and you know, Anderson Silva getting popped and the Diaz brothers and all of that stuff. Guys like Mark Munoz are gentlemen in and out of the ring, and I just think it was a great way for him to go out and a very fun way to remember all the stuff that he's done for the sport. And now he can go do family time and whatever it is that he's going to do. And
hopefully he's
going to
be a senator.
And
seems like in the Philippines they always get to be a politician.
Hopefully stay retired, because I think that's what he should do, is absolutely stay retired. Well, because you worry about these guys that I think it was Brian Stan did a podcast with Joe Rogan, and he was talking about this and how when you exceed at that level of athleticism and violence and all of that stuff, and then it just stops, it leaves this hole that you really have a hard time filling, and then you end up kind of becoming Ken Shamrock fighting, you know.
Yeah. I don't think that'll happen with Mark Munoz. I'm guessing. I don't know for sure.
Yeah. So
I hope not.
I hope it doesn't. Neil Magny proved that he is the real deal. There was some.
It was looking dangerous there in the first round for your boy.
That first minute or two were looking pretty dangerous, and then he weathered the storm and wins a TKO.
I remember seeing that, and I'm going, wasn't this the guy Eric was talking about on the show?
Yeah.
Oops.
Then round two, he showed up.
Oops.
So, I mean, that end of round one, he was in clear control, just couldn't finish, and ends up finishing in round two. I thought their first outing in the Philippines, it was a very, very fun card that kind of showed a hodgepodge of everything that the UFC has to offer. Some great fights on the main event, save for Gegard Mousasi. But I think I knew that fight was going to suck.
Gegard's that dude, too. I mean, he's just so dominant. So we'll watch him for now. It'll be interesting to kind of see where he goes next and middleweight. I mean, I don't know. Where do we have him ranked? Let me grab the rankings real quick.
I'm going to guess he's 4 or 5, right? I'm not looking at it right now.
He's got to be pretty high up there. He's still at 7. So
that dominant win over Costa Philip, who didn't really
bounce. Anderson Silva, who's not fighting right now, is still ahead of him. So, I mean, you've got dudes in there that Vitor will obviously shake out. Jacare obviously is up there. So it'll be interesting to see where he fights next, because he's getting to a level now again. And we thought this was going to happen maybe a couple of years ago, and maybe it's taken a while, like everything in his fights. But, I mean, the guy just kind of keeps winning. And at a certain point, he's going to kind of be there hanging out. And we're going to need a fight. And we're going to need maybe a number one contender fight. We're going to need a title fight. And Gegard Mousasi might be sitting right there. Because as dull as he is, quote unquote, he's a dude that essentially goes out there and wins. Maybe he'll get to fight Jacare again. I know that was one loss on his record. He's down under Machida, too, obviously, because of that loss. But, I mean, those are two really A-level fighters. So it'll be interesting to see if he kind of keeps just moving forward with that. He should be the zombie. Like one of those old-school zombies, just keeps coming.
Just keeps coming, yeah. I mean, you know, those are his last two losses in 5 years were Lyoto and Jacare. And both of those fights could be something that could happen again soon. However, he's a guy that seems like he needs to be tested. And every time he's tested, you know, Jacare and Lyoto, he doesn't really rise to the occasion.
Oh, he beat Dan Henderson. I mean, that's a good test.
In 2015, he beat Dan Henderson.
Right. But, I mean, what are you going to do?
Like, in 2001, beating Dan Henderson is a story. In 2015, I don't know that that's a story.
Okay, but, I mean, you're looking at the fighter rankings.
A minute and 10.
Who else is there right now?
A minute and 10.
So, he's got to fight Yoel Romero.
He has to fight Yoel Romero. Hell yeah, he does.
I don't have a problem with it. Don't get mad at me about it.
Absolutely has
I'm
to
just,
fight him.
I'm just asking.
And then, you know, other than that, UFC 187 is going to be going on, like I said, on the big screen. We will have all of the results, including weigh-ins later on today at WOW Show on Facebook and Twitter.
So what about Ronda and Cyborg? You think it'll do 2 million views?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. No, that's insane. And, you know, and it's not – look, let me say this before I answer that question. If you have not picked up her book and you like mixed martial arts, I so far – I'm not finished with it yet, but so far I really, really dig it. I'm just a super fan of Ronda, and I'll say that openly. I would love for her to do 2 million. I think the problem is on the other side. Not enough people know who Cyborg is, and I think even if you're going to – where you're going to go, she looks like a man. Could she be a man that beats Ronda Rousey? I don't think that does 2 million.
I think – it's genius what Dana White did, and here's why.
Okay.
Because he says that out loud, and all of a sudden, people will know Cyborg Santos as the woman. Oh, yeah, that's the one that really is going – they're going to do a lot of buys. Yeah, I want to see that. Everybody's going to buy that. So he's already put it in people's head, and I say this because I was heading into work early this morning. So I was listening to a news talk station, listening, you know, the traffic and weather kind of deals.
Sure.
The guys on that radio station start talking about Ronda Rousey and this next Rousey fight that's going to do 2 million pay-per-views. And they started talking about it as if it's almost a given because Dana White said it out loud. So he, for people that are not in MMA or paying attention to MMA but sort of know Ronda Rousey, has now set this up as the fight that's going to do 2 million pay-per-view buys.
Okay,
it's genius.
I love this theory for two reasons. One, because I love that Dana White is now Zeus, so he just breathes on things and then they become things in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I don't deny the genius of getting people to talk about it because you've got a lot of momentum that's mm-hmm. going to help this out. She's got two movies coming out this summer that will help continue this narrative even when she's not.
She's on Sports Illustrated right now.
Right.
She's got the book.
She did a fantastic thing on Real Sports on HBO. If you haven't watched it, it's on our Facebook page. Like, she's got a lot of stuff going in her. That said, I still don't think it does 2 million. Is it a huge pay-per-view? Hell yeah, it is. She's their number one star right now. They're a number one star. Hands down.
I think if you start getting casual observers, though, in the sports world, looking at this thing and going, well, who's she going to beat? Well, this must be the one that could beat her because she's heavier. Because that's what I heard this morning. I heard the fight's going to do 2 million pay-per-view buys. And I heard the only reason it hasn't happened is because the other fighter's heavier. Well,
that's the only reason?
Yes.
When the show's over, give me their numbers so I can explain the other 19 reasons.
We know the 20 reasons this fight hasn't happened, and we know the other 20 reasons that Ronda's probably going to win if it ever actually happens. But at this point, perceptually, we've got, this is the Mayweather-Pacquiao of women's MMA. So you're going to have all this curiosity and all these people talking about the fact that, oh yeah, this is the 2 million. Now, whether it does or doesn't get there, I don't know. But the fact that I heard that this morning, it stuck out. And that's why I brought it up before we wrapped up today. It stuck out like these two dudes that are usually talking about traffic and weather and whatever, you know, road proposal
right.
is coming out. They're talking about Ronda Rousey and it's a given to them. Oh yeah, she's super popular. This one's going to do 2 million, we just heard. I mean, that's perceptually, he threw it out there and people are grabbing onto it because Ronda Rousey's hot right now and people want to talk about it. Oh, this is going to be the fight that she can't win, though. So you're going to want to see this.
So
tell me, there's somebody in town here who's been selling fights. This is the fight he can't win for the better part of 35 fights now. And that's sure. Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Sure.
So if you start selling these Ronda Rousey fights as, oh, this is the 2 million pay-per-view fight. This is the fight that she can't win. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We just set a new price point in pay-per-view, and they sold 6 million of those things at $100 a piece. 6 million.
No, I'm with
you. So if this is $45.95, $10 for HD, you've got a half the price point, and you need a third of the viewers. I'm not saying it's Mayweather-Pacquiao, but I'm saying it's very smart to kind of line it up in that realm and get people talking about it because then people are going to tune in to see Ronda Rousey, this person they've heard about. Because most people have still only heard about her.
Sure.
They've only heard about her.
Half the fights are 14 seconds long.
They're 14 seconds. They're on SportsCenter. When they end up on SportsCenter, the whole fight's there because
right.
they're 14 seconds.
Right.
So these people have heard about Ronda Rousey. There's an interest level there. There's a WrestleMania interest level there. So you start talking about this fight as being the fight that does 2 million, you might become a self-fulfilling prophecy in this one.
Maybe. Let me ask you one question before we let you, we go for the weekend. What did WrestleMania do? Do you know?
Oh, we don't know because of the network.
Oh,
their
gotcha.
Online network. It's
Got
not
it.
Pay-per-view anymore. We know it did fairly well because I couldn't watch half the damn thing. So
Well, I was just trying to, like, you know,
because it kept going down.
I don't,
kept crashing.
Yeah, I don't deny that being in the Ronda Rousey business is a good place to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I'm on 2 million. I would love to eat crow on this one.
I think it'll be interesting if they keep talking about it as the 2 million pay-per-view fight.
I just think
you end up with Dana White on Jim Rome saying, yeah, they're going to take 2 million. And you make it a given and you pique that interest.
What's really fascinating about this right now is it is May 22nd. And we're talking about a fight that doesn't exist, and mm-hmm. we're not paying any attention to the one that's actually on the books for September.
And that's how you got to build it. Haven't you seen the Avengers?
No, it was any good.
They released a clip 8 years ago, before the movies were out. They released clips. We've got, you know,
Ronda Rousey is the Avengers.
We have 37 more movies before Infinity War, but we know that Infinity War is coming because they released a couple clips, and Josh Brolin runs around with a toy on stage.
All right. And on that note, make sure you go see Avengers this weekend so you understand all these references that Ken has just done.
Out at Celebration Cinema.
You can see it right before you see the rest of UFC 187 at Celebration Cinema. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk next week. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.